Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's His creation and system that whenever human being has a big illness, a major illness or a minor illness, if he's about to be afflicted or he is afflicted, then Allah Ta'ala has prepared such a thing that some signs become apparent of that. And that human being, he realizes that I'm about to get ill. For example, nowadays if we take the example of a cold, if for example the cold is coming, you'll sneeze or you'll feel your body is aching or some other way you'll feel that a cold is coming. Allah's made that system. In the same way, major illnesses, minor illnesses which are related to the body, and a person then realizes what sickness he has got. He understands that I am sick, and definitely for a person who has aql, wisdom, he will pay attention to that illness and he'll try that somehow I need to eliminate this illness and cure this illness. And then there's a system going to the doctor, to the hakim, and a person goes and starts his the diagnosis and the cure. So a person uses the resources and the means. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that we are made of two parts, the physical body and the spiritual, the soul, the ruh, the spirit. The same system is with the ruh. The ruh becomes hungry, becomes ill. In other words, very similar conditions with the body and with the ruh, with the soul, whether you accept or not, but this is the reality. This is what happens. So the ruh, the inner soul, we pay less attention to the ruh. And this is our biggest cause of destruction and our acts of foolishness. And if we look, the ruh, it is essential compared to the body. Body is there and everything should be in a good state. But the ruh has more need and a right upon us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like He has prepared for our physical body conditioning and looking after it, in the same way Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the ruh. The difference is that when the signs are apparent on the ruh, then we don't pay attention to the bad situation within us. If we think, though, our pious predecessors have stated that the body and the ruh, they have such a difference, just like, for example, we get upset and we are careful, we look after the body, we know that there's a sickness and illness and we take the medicine, but we don't pay the same attention to the ruh, the soul, our inner state. And even if the body becomes ill or weak, you sneeze, you get a cold, okay, let's take the biggest sickness. What will be the worst case scenario? Your life will be lost, isn't it? But the pious predecessors have stated that, look, the person, if he's physically sick, the life will go. But when the ruh is ill, the soul is ill, then his iman goes. His iman goes. Yes? So with the physical illness, you are in threat of your life. But with the soul sickness, the inner state, then iman is in danger. Belief is in danger. So this is a surprise that we are all about looking after our, saving our life, but not saving iman. And this is shaitan's biggest game with us. That the iman, the belief of a human being, everything is for iman. Iman is what causes all success. If we have no iman, then will any of our deeds be accepted? Will there be any status of our deeds in the eyes of Allah? No, you can do anything. Without iman, it is empty, hollow, zero. And when a person is weak with regards to iman, his thinking is weak, his belief is weak, then consider Allah becomes very unhappy with that person. So the greatest gift and ni'mah Allah has given to us is iman. The biggest ni'mah Allah has given to us is iman, belief. And on Iman, Allah looks at the grateful and the ungrateful people. A person becomes grateful or ungrateful relating to Allah's ni'mah. So if Allah has given us such a great ni'mah, the greatest ni'mah, Iman, and we're not demonstrating, we're not giving shukr for that, we're not grateful, how will we present ourselves in the court of Allah? From our bodies, we commit so many sins, and we should be worried about why that's happening. So Allah's hikmah, it is superior compared to everything else. And we hear regularly, mashallah, our brothers who belong to the Tablighi Jamaat, and they speak regularly on this in the bayanat. They always say that we don't value Iman. That's why. Why is that? Because with ease we attained Iman. Yes, especially in their discussions and their speech, they speak about this. And this is the case. We're born, Adhan was given into our ears, we grew up and we have Muslim names, and we say we're Muslim, such a great treasure. Just like a child, his father leaves an inheritance, a big mansion, he's born, this is your house, this is your mansion, these are your assets, these are your resources. He was born into that. He didn't know how hard his father worked, how much effort and sweat, toil and struggle, how much he cooked and sold or did trade, etc. So look at Iman, same way the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, great example. And once I was on a journey, and about 60 years ago, I think, 60 years ago, possibly. And those experiences I'm sharing with you, look at our hal, Iman, we take it for granted. I speak about myself, you are pious brothers, mashallah. What value do I have for my Iman? Do I appreciate my Iman? So such people I met, there were people at that time in that generation, hikmah, wisdom. And there were also people who didn't believe in Allah or in Rasulullah. So there are people, some who believe, some who don't. And the law in that land was also similar. So I was passing by, in this sort of century that's just gone, long after the Sahaba Ikram. So such events and stories, I hold, forget about crying, my hair stood on end when I heard the events. They said that they were Muslims once upon a time, but you cannot see any sign of Islam in them. They said that time came to us, it's come before us, and it's during our lives that we are spied upon, that no one here, is anyone praying Salah? Forget about Salah. They listen with their ears that from any home is the sound or name of Allah coming. They're spying and they were crying and saying, very difficult. Maybe one page of Quran we have in our possession that we hide and we distribute that for reading sometimes. And look, alhamdulillah, we have our shelves are full of the Quran. And we are sat, we read the Quran, alhamdulillah, but the amount that we work hard with our bodies to cure the sicknesses, how weak our Iman is and our inner state is and our soul is. Think about it. So the Sahaba Ikram had great value for the Iman. Allah put them into difficulty, Allah's hikmah to give them reward. If we compare ourselves, how closely connected are we with Iman? We have no worry about the sickness of our Iman. If our Iman is sick, we say, oh, no problem, Iman will go. No worries. Let's look at our heart issues, physical body issues. We don't have no value to Iman compared to the physical body sicknesses. And there's a difference like the heavens and the earth to how we treat our bodies and our soul. Once I was on a journey, same many decades ago, 60 years ago, on the journey to Africa. And as I was on the journey, I arrived to a village, and some colleagues took me to this village. It was night time. Even today, that scene is in front of my eyes. I don't forget that scene, subhanallah. Amazing. I cannot forget those moments, those times. We traveled a lot. Where were we? Middle of the night, we arrived there. It was total silence, eerie silence. I remember it was the moon on the 14th night, full moon, the whole village, and they were black people who lived there, Africans, and they heard that some Muslim has come here, a traveler, and there were three or four colleagues with me. And subhanallah, that scene that I saw, I can never forget. They were desperate, so happy. They came out of the village, women, folk, children, men, to see, oh, Muslims have come on travelers to our village from a foreign land. Imagine, this is the dunya, the value. There's the village in Africa I'm telling you about. So I sat there, and those poor souls, they didn't understand too much English, khair. The brother who's with us, who had that dialect that they understood, so I sort of spoke through him. And they were so happy, amazing, like a celebration. rejoicing, extreme happiness. They couldn't imagine that a Muslim has come, he's going to talk to us about deen. They were desperate, thirsty. And then some points we discussed with them, some of the people amongst them in the community who knew a little bit, maybe they were alims or they had some level of knowledge. They explain that this is our condition, situation, that we have two juz of the Quran. That's it. We have two juz of the Quran that we possess. They said even this that we distribute by page, it's very difficult for us to read. Our children, they don't even know how to recite, how to read. Anyway, those painful points they discussed, it was a feeling of shame that Allah has given us such ease. Allah has given us deen, the body that we're looking after, the body that we're looking after with pride. Look at the reality. The body that we're bringing up and looking after, how long will it take for the earth to open up for us to be buried? Tell me, when we go into the earth and the body will decay and the bones will come out, the flesh will decay and the faces will twist, the eyes will disappear. Yes, once I was passing through a graveyard and next to the grave stood to do dua. And then I looked carefully and two bones had come out of the grave, two bones. And I said that this is the human being who was buried here. And we worry so much about our bodies, looking after it and cleaning and grooming, etc. But if we were to control the disease of our heart, I swear by Allah, this world will become paradise and the hereafter will become paradise. But we don't care. We have no care. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah says they have no care, no fikr, no concern, no distress, no sadness about the inner state. This reason is that we emphasize on our bodies, looking after our bodies, fitness and cleanliness and purity. But internal purity, we have to do dhikr. So I'd like to just discuss a bit more. May Allah Ta'ala give me understanding. And all those brethren and the people who are listening, listen carefully. This is not a speech, brothers. I don't know how to give speech. I'm not giving a bayan. We're sat here. So some words in my heart I'm sharing with you so we can do our islah, rectification. Subhanallah. So this is what I've heard at the feet of our pious predecessors. You are brothers and colleagues. So please listen carefully so we can implement. Just Allah Ta'ala has given the signs of the decay of the body, illness of the body. So let's think today. Let's pay attention to our heart. Is my heart healthy or ill? Because our iman is directly related to the heart. Quran in the hadith, look in the light of Quran and hadith, how the walis of Allah, and they've done research. They are the consultants of the heart. Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, high class consultant, listen to his words, read his words, will be surprised that how beautiful points he presented for the islah of the human being. Look, now we need to think that we need to analyze that my heart, is it sick? Or how healthy is it? Or is it got coronavirus? As I said, that where does the illness of the heart end? Not at death, it ends with losing iman. Yes, the coronavirus of the heart, when they depart this world, may Allah forgive, then they don't have iman attached to them. Because they were sick, they didn't cure. And they thought it was a joke. The Quran says, فَزَادَهَمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهَمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah says the marad, the disease will increase. Allah says that's why I've kept this as a reality. If a person sees the sign of illness, sickness, if he in time solves that, cures that, then that's good. But if it increases and spreads, then the cancer spread. Doctors said we can't do anything. This happens with the body, isn't it? So the sicknesses of the heart, spiritual, ruhani, inner state, they get to that stage, then it's the final moment of life. How will he amend his sickness? May Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. Too late then, very bad time then when iman is lost. Iman is lost. So what's the sign if the heart is sick? Now, we need to analyze ourselves. Let's worry about ourselves. What's the sign of a sick heart? Sick heart. Diseased heart. First sign, number one, is that me or you, if our heart, anybody's heart, if it is sick, then what's the sign that will tell us this? There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The meaning of this hadith is that Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to me, and in the narration he took my hand or somehow he explained to me, that Abdullah, look, this dunya, if you want to live in this world, then live like a traveler. Ooh, live like a foreigner or live like a traveler. How should you live? Like a foreigner or traveler. You know, foreign or a traveler. live like that in this world. Don't stick yourself to this world, adhere to this world. Live like a traveler. Now, the most chronic disease of the heart is what? Let's hint in this hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The biggest disease of the heart in this day and age, it is so spread out and common. That is love of the worldly things. Hubbe dunya. Hubbe dunya. All of the sicknesses of the heart, the root cause is the love of the world. The Holy Prophet said in a beautiful way, he gave us a standard. A standard, if you want to live, you have to live in this world. But how should you live? As a traveler, as a musafir. Live like a musafir. Now musafir eats, drinks, sleeps and wears clothes. But how does he do it? Temporary. How much will he eat? As much as is necessary. Will he stop somewhere? He stops as much as is necessary. Is it according to the traveler? So Allah's Nabi Sallam gave a beautiful example of the traveler that you have to live in this world. Of course, for sure, no doubt. But how should you live? Live just like the musafir. He spends times on activities as much as is necessary. Only keep that much luggage, eating, drinking, ease, comfort, as much as is necessary, because tomorrow you'll depart from this world. So what's the standard that the Prophet Sallam taught us? The standard has been given that every Muslim should live in this world, that he should have fikr, concern. Now here, we shouldn't be worried that dunya, I have to earn. And there's nothing wrong with earning. Of course we have the needs of life, we are alive. There's nothing wrong with earning, but to increase and spread the dunya, we've been prohibited. Earn, I should earn, you should earn. We have to eat, live at home, children, have everything. But earn in such a way that according to mine and yours necessities. Don't spread beyond the needs. Dunya becomes dunya when a person's worried about one house, need second house. Two rooms, I need four. One car, need three cars. One factory, need more factories. When this starts happening in a person's life, three pieces of clothes, three attires, four libas, ten. These are clothes, these shoes are good, let me buy three or four more. This desire is dangerous and departs a person from the reality of life, and this love becomes the love of the dunya. So this is a dangerous disease in that heart. When a person sees this, first sign of the heart being sick, in that heart where the love of the world is absorbed, that it keeps on spreading and increasing your desires for dunya, not stopping, reducing. Okay, your necessities are fulfilled, nice food, wife, children, you're studying, education, a controlled life, no worry about the dunya, running after it. How does it increase? Spread. A person who wants to increase and multiply, debts. He takes out debts. Then to fulfill that desire, he has to lie, do wrong actions, and consume people's rights, oppress people's rights. Then he goes beyond that to and dunya. He rejects Allah's laws. He leaves salah. He runs after dunya, worldly material things. So this is called increasing the dunya. But when it comes to earning enough, you got hisab for what you need to live and eat, to your requirements. My hisab is complete. And here a person doesn't leave salah, he doesn't leave Allah Ta'ala's orders, the faraid he will complete and fulfill. A person will implement everything, he'll work and deen. But if there's imbalance in our lives, what do we have? Imbalance. If there's something to increase, subhanAllah, then you know the sign. Immediately what should we do if the material desires increase? Cure that disease. Allah, this sickness is within me, I need to cure this sickness. Second sign of the diseased heart, the sick heart. Number one was love for dunya. And number two, a person's desires don't go towards good deeds. His desires, his passions, his habits, his hobbies. He feels burdened when good deeds are presented to him. He doesn't feel like doing, okay, I've come to salah, 5 minutes I've got. Okay, I'll pray two rukah extra. No, I don't feel like it. I've come minimum salah and depart. How much Allah has given you a chance? You're sat here 5 minutes. One word of the Quran, imagine the thawab of reading the Quran at that time. Then that thawab is forever. Baqiyat, Allah says. It's written in your book of deeds. You've earned that good deed. No one can wipe it away. But you don't feel like doing it. You don't love it. You don't want to read that verse, extra verse. Okay, I can't read the Quran. Okay. Do maraqabah for a few minutes then in the heart. Meditation, close your eyes, direct connection to Allah. 3 minutes you've got before or after Salah. The pious leaders have said 3 minutes of maraqba is so valuable. The wealth you cannot look after in the hereafter, you won't be able to look after that wealth. 3 minutes of maraqba, not from your mouth, from your tongue of your heart, if you say Allah, Allah, Allah. And saying Allah once is greater than saying 70 times from the tongue, Allah, 70 times. Written in the kitabs, when you close your eyes and 3 minutes do maraqba, the praise of this maraqba with regards to thawab, so much proof, so much explanation. Okay, if you can't pick up the Quran, recite the Quran, close your eyes, do maraqba for a few minutes. And 2 minutes, it's like you've gone to a new world, a new realm if you do dhikr. Do that experience and tell me. But that time, when in your heart you have that desire to do good, 5 minutes you come before Salah, 2 minutes before Allah sent you to His home, we look left and right, we're looking around, we look at the clock. Who's in the rows behind me? Who's here? Who's not here? Why isn't Salah started yet? Why waste time? But when you open your eyes after maraqba, when the iqamah is being called, then your conscience comes, oh, Imam Sahib's come, okay, let's start praying Salah. SubhanAllah. What a great utilization of time. So when we have the passion, when the heart is cured, then you'll feel like doing this. So if you have food in front of you, different dishes, delicacies, you'll only consume them when your stomach's healthy. Pilau, sweet rice. If you've got an upset stomach, you say, no, thank you, jazakallah. But you won't feel like consuming those dishes because your stomach is ill. Your stomach is upset. It's not healthy. Quran is there. The words are there. The pages are there. The surahs are there. But you don't feel like reading Quran. You can do maraqba. Allah said to us, if you remember me in your heart, amazing reward. You've learned dhikr, but you don't want to do it. No second of our life should go to waste. No second of the life should go to waste. Every second we should be occupied, busy, focusing on Allah, and our machine of life should be focused on Allah. This is the quality of a mu'min. Allah has given us iman. Not a second should he waste. That's why you learn the dhikr of Allah. That not a moment, second. Kullu hayanin, the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha Siddiqah said, the Prophet ﷺ, every moment he was immersed in the dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, every second he was in dhikrullah. Why? Because the glorious status of a Muslim is a second doesn't go to waste. How can it be? Read Quran, you're tired. Nafal salah, you get tired. Fine. Person gets tired physically, bodily. Close your eyes, do maraqba. You don't get tired of that. And all of your, even the drowsiness is fulfilled through that. But why don't we do it? Why? Sickness in the heart. Don't feel like it. Stomach's upset, heart is upset. That's the second sign. Sick person. Third sign of a sick heart is that it doesn't feel like doing good. And he likes, the third sign, likes to do things. And hours on end will look at dirty things on the phone. Soon as we come out of the masjid, ping, phone comes out of the pocket. Screen is open. And I speak about myself because I do this. Yeah, what an impure, may Allah Ta'ala give me a salah rectification. We're talking together. Does it make sense doing this? Yes. We don't even get beyond the gate and masjid. Tuck, the phone comes out of the pocket. What's wrong with me? Walking down the pavement, even if I bump into a lamppost, my feet fall into the drain, but the phone has to be looked at. This is essential for us today, SubhanAllah. Oh, servant of Allah, when you come out of the masjid, then your dhikr should be revised. So if you can't walk with consciousness, at least have the revision of dhikr in your heart that you're doing Allah in your heart. Your heart should continue. That's why dhikrullah is learnt. Any moment the heart should not tire. Experience, if the heart becomes alive with dhikr, then your heart will alert you. I've experienced this when you leave the masjid, shaitan deceives. Oh, take that gadget out of the pocket. And your heart will knock. It will be like a jolt, a jerk. Oh, no, be careful, be careful. Suddenly, oh, yaar. Oh, then the heart will say, Allah, Allah, Allah. You'll walk and your heart is saying, Allah, 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 Allah. SubhanAllah. Will we do this, brothers? So these are the signs of the sick heart. Yes? So the desire towards sin, within a second you can earn all of the sins under the sun. Now, mashallah, fast track methods to sin. Fast track methods. So when you see the imbalance, you don't want to do good, and you're yearning for bad, jumping into the traps of sin, then consider your heart is sick. The sickness is in the heart. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. Good company. Good company. A person will be scared of good company. Fourth point. No. I don't want to meet him. I don't need to go and sit with him. I have no need to listen to them. Oh, because the heart is sick. Point number four. He feels afraid, fear from good company. If the announcement's made, what a great announcement after salah. The brother who made the announcement, come brothers, dhikr majlis after salah. And then if the heart was in sync, tell me, Dhul Hijjah is leaving, the night of Jummah is coming, life no guarantee, will we get Dhul Hijjah again in our lives? The night of Dhul Hijjah, the night of Jummah and Dhul Hijjah, sitting down reciting durood, such great kalamat will recite. Then we'll do maraqab after that. Amazing, amazing namas after that. Then the next salah will come, we'll pray salah Isha. Massive, massive wealth a person will amass within an hour, 2 hours. We're doing this. Invitation is being given for this, I swear by Allah. These moments to attain this night of Jummah will go 30 minutes. I will sit, I will hear this. So much a person feels an outlet, coolness, whose heart is correct. He feels so super coolness in his heart. If he's not sick, from morning he's waiting. Night of Jummah, Dhul Hijjah, will sit, other brothers will sit, will do dhikr, will say kalimas, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wallahu akbar. Allahu Akbar, amazing kalimat. Such a night, my Mawla, my Rabb, my Sustainer, you are making me say from my tongue such kalimat. Allah says, these are my beloved, extremely beloved kalimat. Leave the thawab. Allah said, beloved, extremely beloved kalimat. The heart is sick. No, I can't sit now. I prayed salah, that's enough. It's time to go now. Announcements come, we reject it. Allah said, Allah gave that invitation, and we shouldn't have an excuse. All the people sat here, that on the day of judgment, Allah will ask that, okay, fine. What was the necessity, the desperateness, that your heart was dead and sick? Yes, you're desperate to leave the masjid. What was it you had to go out for? For example, if I say now, have some food in the part of the Maghrib, nice biryani, don't go. After salah, they won't even read the full salah, so that the food doesn't end, so that the biryani doesn't run out. Quickly, let's go down, and let's have a plate of biryani. One value of the plate of biryani, the value. And here what's being distributed, at this moment in time, if our eyes of our heart open, that the pious priests have told us, this gathering, the value, the heavens to the earth, the angels are amassed with no square inch of void space. Imagine the angels from the heavens to the earth. There's no square millimeter of space that the angels are filling. They've surrounded this gathering, the jama'ah. They've spread their wings. Allah's rahmah is descending. Sakina's come into the hearts. Sins are being removed. When you depart from this gathering, then there'll be a stamp on your back. You are forgiven. Subhanallah. Amazing. Amazing. So these dishes that we don't eat, stomach ache, pilau, sweet rice, delicacies, we leave because we have a stomachache. So the heart, if it's healthy, it will grab the delicacies of dhikrullah. So that was the fourth. And the next point, shorten it. We don't have fikr of akhirah. No worry about the grave. No worry about the ummah. No worry about death. No worry about the hereafter. In the akhirah, the grave, the phases of thereafter. How death will be severe. How will I die? Horrible death. No khawf. No worry. No fikr of akhirah. But I'll be worried that if 10 pounds I'd have turnover less today or tomorrow. Yaar, I don't know why I had 10 pounds less turnover. I've heard with my ears. I used to run my own businesses. Believe me. We used to ask each other, how was your day today? I didn't enjoy it today. Or Christmas season, businessmen are sat here. I've never heard a businessman say, and they all sat here, the businessmen. I've never heard a businessman say, Alhamdulillah, it was a good turn of today. I'm not in my life, 30, 40 years I ran a business myself. And I used to, regularly I used to interview brothers, how was the business, other people. I never heard them say, Alhamdulillah. He said, no, I have counted the turn of today. I was shocked. I said, why? He said, how much difference? 100 pounds less compared to previous Christmas? How much difference? 10 pounds. And he's upset. Oh, I didn't enjoy myself this season. Oh, I didn't take as much as last year. This is a sickness. Fikr-e-akhirah, if you don't have it, then you'll have fikr-e-dunya. Yes, if I'm going to my bed to sleep, and a person will have fikr-e-akhirah, first action he'll do is, yaar, what deed did I do today? I've heard from an alim, maulana, friend of Allah. Have I got an amal I've done today that when I go to sleep, I can say such a thing, that Allah Ta'ala will forgive my sins due to the deed I committed today? Don't we be taught that when we go to the bed, then 3 times recite astaghfar. Astaghfar. Isn't this the case? 3 times astaghfar, when you recite at the time of going to your mattress, Allah will remove all of the sins. Forgive all of the sins. What a great deed, but we don't fikr akhirah. When we have fikr, so many deeds Allah Ta'ala has delegated to us. I swear by Allah, Allah has prepared for us such a schedule of life. Not a second, no mu'min can ever go into Jahannam. Impossible. So many preparations, Allah's mercies to forgive us. So many untold
from morning till night until going to the mattress to your bed. Such small deeds Allah has given to us. The person, it's impossible for him to go into hellfire after he dies. Impossible. And the amount that will go into Jannah, we cannot imagine today. We'll lose count. Why? What's the reason? You haven't understood what I'm saying. What's the reason for it? Dil, the heart is sick. If the heart is sick, should we sit down and cry? Yeah, put hand on hand and cry. Will we not be questioned tomorrow? Are there not doctors to solve the problem, the crisis? Will there not be a medicine for the sick heart? Let me tell you. I'll give you the address of the hospital. Okay? Consultant. I'll tell you the consultant, the physician. Not me. The Quran will tell you. The Quran will tell you and prescribe to you. The hospital, the physician, the consultant. Allah has mentioned the name of the hospital, the consultant's name. Yes. And the medicine's name. Subhanallah. What's the hospital? The greatest hospital? The Khanqa. The Khanqas. These are the spiritual hospitals. The greatest hospital was Masjid al-Nabwi, Madinatul Manawwara, the Ashab al-Suf, the raised platform where the Sahab Akram would sit. That was the spiritual hospital. The Darvish, the devotees sat there, washed their hearts. What was their food? Sight of the Holy Prophet. This was their food, their bread, their water. Sight of the Holy Prophet and the dhikr of Allah. That's it. And today even Madinatul Manawwara, that Khanqa, look at the glory of it. All of Medina you can wander around, Masjid Nabawi, but you'll see it as a unique place, physically, spiritually. Unique place, Ashab al-Suf. Subhanallah. That, for example, if you go there during Ramadan and pray Taraweeh on the Ashab al-Suf. Yeah, some people do itikaf on that raised platform. The enjoyment, the feeling, the emotion is different. This is my experience. The whole Masjid pray Taraweeh, Masjid Nabawi. Spend the night and then go to Ashab al-Suf. I swear by Allah, it's a beautiful difference. Beautiful difference. Same way, the spiritual hospitals, the Khanqas, the place where spiritual rectification, our pious predecessors cleaned the hearts of their students in the Khanqas. That's where we learned the deen as well. So what's the name of the hospital? The Khanqas. They're the spiritual hospitals where you go and meet the consultant, the friend of Allah, the Wali Allah, the Shaykh is the consultant. What's the medicine? Dhikrullah. Subhanallah. Dhikrullah. So the doors are open. Let's see how sick we are. If we're not, go towards the hospital, take hold of the consultant's hands and take the medicine. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you, all of us, the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Shareef.
كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وإنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا أصلنا وشدنا خطونا أبدنا كل ذلك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری صغیر و کبیر گناہ کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ اس بابا قطرات میں گھڑیوں میں میرے مولا ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما لے یا اللہ ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما لے یا اللہ ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما لے اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے نیک اعمال کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے تمام دلوں کی بیماریوں کو دور فرما دے یا اللہ کو سچا طبیب نصیب فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہمارے تمام نیک اعمالوں سے ہمیں محبت نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ ہمیں وقت ضائع کرنے سے بچا لے شیطان نفس کے شرور سے بچا لے اے میرے مولا تو اپنے بندہ بنا لے یا اللہ تو اپنا محبوب بندہ بنا لے یا میرے مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے جو بھی آج تو نے تیرے کرم سے جو باتیں ہمارے زبانوں سے نکلی ہم نے سنی میرے مولا ان پہ ہمیں عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے ہمارے اساتذہ کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ جنہوں نے ہماری دنیاوی دینی جو تربیتیں کی میرے مولا ان کے درجاتوں کو بلند فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے سارے رشتہ داروں کو بخش دے یا اللہ پوری امت کو بخش دے اے میرے مولا ہر مضی مرائض سے بیماریوں سے ہمیں نجات عطا فرما یا اللہ جن لوگوں نے مریضوں نے میرے مولا اپنی صحت کے لیے کہا میرے مولا انہیں صحت کامل حاضر نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے علم میں اضافہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے علم میں اخلاص نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے اندر محبت قرب نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا تو اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے نبی کریم سب کی سنتوں پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین آمین.